SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So going back, Carver High, you know, Bill Clement used to like come on my radio show at one point or another, I think out in Los Angeles, when I did Ferrell on the Bench on Westwood One and CBS, and I was on The Fan in New York, and I would have this guy on. I thought that Thorne and Clement were just absolutely terrific at calling playoff games. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, like, I think it's so stale now with these guys. I'm just being honest that are doing these games now. Like, I can't figure out. Like, I love Edzo. He's great. I think he's awesome. I love Edzo. Yeah. But, like, I don't. Well, which is it? Is it horses or is it hockey? I mean, you're a hockey guy your whole life, but he's over here doing horses now. And make up your mind. Like, all these guys doing 15 sports. Sean McDonough, and I mean it. Like, I'm not even kidding here. Like you know, he was doing Blackhawk games forever, and then he was doing Seattle games. Like, I can't figure this out. And then, like, McDonough, they have tried, and tell me I'm wrong. Like, let's say I'm some executive sitting in a boardroom right now at Disney. What are we doing here? How many jobs are we going to give this guy? We got Monday Night Football, college football, the NFL, the hockey. I mean, what is next? He's calling Wimbledon? I mean, honestly, like, does that not bother you at some point? Honestly, because they had Wischusen doing the games, and he's not a hockey guy, but he did the best of all of them.
I thought he was the best. I think the thing with Sean is, and obviously he's one of their, if not one of their main, one of their main play-by-play guys. And I don't know if they took money away from him when he stopped doing Monday Night Football, because remember, he was doing Monday Night Football, and they booted him out of that, and they made him brought him back to college, and then he's doing all these other things. So he's a very recognizable. Listen, he's not a bad play-by-play guy. He just started really doing hockey last year when ESPN got it back. I think he's very good with football. I think he does a good job with football.
We're talking about hockey here.
I know, but I'm saying they have him doing it because. They need him to do things because they're probably paying him still whatever they gave him for the Monday Night Football. So they need to, you know, have him do a lot of other stuff to justify whatever that is. So that's
Listen,
why
your
you
guy,
see him on all this stuff.
Your guy, Brendan Burke, is that his name?
Yes.
Is that his name?
He's great.
That kid is so much better than him calling a hockey game.
Oh.
It's not even funny.
Yeah.
And then I got to tell you, like, let's just be honest. Right? Like, Sam and Joe are my favorite. But Sam and Joe, they're great. Now they're like geriatric city. I mean, like, Sam's calling games now. It's like 105. But John Sterling's 120. Yeah. And he misses every game now. And they're still trying to cram him down our throats. Like, at some point, can we get a hockey guy to call the G-damn game? Like, at some point, doesn't some suit at this powerful place say, what are we doing here? With the tennis guy or the golf guy or the ping pong guy calling our hockey games.
Well,
honestly,
I think eventually Brendan's going to be one of the top two
hockey
play-by-play guys nationally, because the guy has done thousands of hockey games and he still does 100 plus every single season between the Islanders and nationally. He's the hockey guy. That's what he does. I mean, Kenny does TNT with Edzo, and Kenny does everything, as we know, does everything, but he does do a lot of hockey, and he's done lot of hockey in his career.
He does,
so
but
he
like,
knows it.
He gets, you know, he does so many sports now. What's next?
I know.
I'm going to go to the Caribbean. He's going to be calling the cricket finals.
Look,
honestly, like, at some point, pick a sport. And let's just, can we not have one guy
how about
do
pick
every
two
sport
or three?
On the what's next? He's going to do, what's next? He's going to do wrestling? Am I going to have him doing wrestling for me too?
Right.
I mean, honestly, is he going to call the Indy 500 next? Is he doing that on Sunday?
Pick two or three. I need to settle for him picking two or three.
What's next?
He does them all.
Sean McDonough's calling the Formula One Monaco.
Doing doing the PBC boxing. He's doing, I saw him doing a St. John's game on FS1 a year or two ago. Like, just, can we step back a little bit? Just keep it to, you know, he does baseball, he does NFL, he does the hockey, he does a...
How do you stay married?
Let's pick a couple things.
How do you stay married?
He works, I guess he works 320 days a year. So.
A week. How do you have a family? How is that possible? Like, here's 34C would have divorced my ass so long ago with the guy that never comes home. Well, what does he do? Well, he's a play-by-play guy. Oh, that's great. He must make a lot of money. Yeah, he hasn't seen his family in 5 years. My guy's probably sleeping with some chick at the Holiday Inn. I mean, are we on
the air? It's like Ian.
Don't talk about Holiday Inn.
Ian got it down.
What?
Like, the Birdman got it down to two things. I do NBA, and I do NFL on CBS on Sundays. Like,
that's
Birdman's
it.
Got it down to two things. He's got his hands still in everything. He got his hands all over the place. But
he's doing pickleball now. All right, we'll get down at the Lifetime.
We'll get back on. We will come back, and we'll get back on track with the rest of this hockey game. We've got baseball to do. We're a lot to do today as we head into the holiday weekend.
I mean, honestly,
coast to coast,
did you hear that call and echo? Hell, what a great thing. Asking him, God's in. I was like, I felt like I was in a car wreck. Honestly, it was so bad.
I don't disagree.
Don't even tell me I'm wrong.
I don't disagree. It was tough call. Tough call. Get me Bobby.
It was brutal. The game winner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't even get us started on what you think of what our opinions is of the rest of the broadcast. And those involved, don't even get us started there. We'll get fired. Just play the coaching clips now, so we can get out of this without.
Yeah,
any,
let's just
difficulty.
Let's. We'll get back. We'll get back on track now from last night. So the Stars force a game 5 in Vegas tomorrow night. Let's hear first from Peter DeBoer talking about Joe Pavelski, the old man scoring the game winner, another big goal for Joe. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, he's ageless, you know. He just, what do you say about
sure
him?
Is.
I mean, I've seen that movie, you know, over and over again, never gets old. But he lives for those moments, and, you know, he wants to be in those situations, always has, and delivers, you know, almost every time.
You all right,
yeah,
Pete? Need a nap?
Yeah, listen,
Jeez,
I don't.
Pete, you just won, Pete.
I don't deny that Pavelski's good and has been good. He's had a great career. My point is this. I don't even care if they have Pavelski. I don't care if they have three of them. They're losing this series. It's ending in Vegas.
Yes.
It should have ended last night.
I agree.
When you're up 2-1 and you let him back in it, you deserve to lose.
Yep. But look, the Stars also got something they hadn't gotten the entire series, which was Robertson scoring. And when Robertson scores, they win. I know Pavelski had the winner, but when Robertson acts, who's their best player,
yeah,
when he actually shows up, gets two goals, you know, they're going to win. It took them a little extra time, and they still needed overtime to beat them. Here is your boy, Butch Cassidy, the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, Bruce Cassidy, of course.
The Sundance kid.
The Sundance kid heading back to Vegas for Game 5.
Well, they're a good team, and it's a third overtime game in the series, so I'm not – there's always things we'll look at. As I said, our breakout execution is it support.
Going to the whiteboard here, the breakout execution.
So we'll look at that, but, I mean, they're a good team too, right? So that's going to happen. They have good players. They're top players.
The other guys get paid.
Plays for them tonight. When that happens, good things happen to your team, and that's what you got to guard against. You know, those guys don't get excited to play, you know, get them going. So you're always, you know, concerned about that
that'll
spark their team. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's one area. Like I said, they were more competitive than us early. We got through that. It's 2-2 going into the third. And like I said, could have went either way from there. And they probably felt the same way about the first two games as well. So that's the way it goes.
What's
sometimes.
That camera guy doing?
They had, with the Marchessault goal, they had, you know, I thought a chance to win the game. You're up 2-1, and you let them score late in the second. You know you're dead. we could go through all the games and the, you know, of both conferences of where you blow a game. And it was right then. You're up 2-1. You have the game in hand. You know, they've had that happen in this series already. Dallas had game 2-1. They were up 2-1. The game was over. They had it. And then they let Vegas score late, and then they blow it in over, you know, Vegas wins it in overtime. Dallas had that game. They had game one. They scored with a minute 49 left. You got to win that game in overtime. Instead, they lost that game, blew game two, and they finally didn't blow a game. Let's calm down. And remember this, that owner out there, watch your back. I mean, honestly, they go through coaches out there like Kleenex. Watch your back. It don't matter. Like, I'm still trying to get over the Gallant firing. Like, you know, honestly, like, you go to the Stanley Cup Finals and lose to Ovechkin, you get fired. I wouldn't trust that guy as far as I could spit.
Well, make the Final Four, four of the first 6 years you're in the league, and you've had three different coaches already. That's pretty good.
Score.
You know, that says it all right there.
He does everybody.
Yeah, they chopped the boar after last season. So they have gone through quite a few coaches. Game five is tomorrow night, as we have already discussed, 8 o'clock East at the T-Mobile. The Knights are now minus 140, up a little bit there, plus 115 now for the Stars. 5.5 is the total. I think it ends tomorrow night, Scotty. Vegas wins.
Yeah, me too. I'll lay $1.35.
And I also want them to win tomorrow because I want the cup final to start on Wednesday. I don't want to wait a whole week for the Stanley Cup final to start. So if Vegas wins tomorrow, we know Wednesday night, Vegas, Florida, game one, let's go. I want to get all those things in order for my week. If you think Dallas can win the next three, it's plus 650.
And Vegas would have home ice in the Stanley Cup final, right?
Yes, Vegas would. Game one would be either whoever wins this has home ice. Whether it's Vegas or Dallas, they would have home ice in the cup final against Florida.
What a scene that's going to be to, you know, go to the Stanley Cup finals in Vegas and Miami. I mean, honestly, like, does it get any better than that? I mean, that's just like, that is just fantastic. Like, I mean, if you're covering this, but most of the guys that cover this are dorks. And they're not cool enough to take advantage of Vegas and Miami. Like, if I were covering this back in the day, they'd probably find me dead somewhere in one of these towns.
But this was clearly Gary's thinking all along the last 25 years. Like, he was obviously tired of going to places like Montreal and Edmonton and Boston. And he was like, I need to get to places like Vegas and Miami. For the cup final. That's where I need to be.
When he started, there were 13 in the under Canada in the U.S. Now it's like 22. Yeah. He got it up to 22.
Yeah. And think about the places he's gotten them to. I mean, the only one that I guess you got to say two haven't worked. One Atlanta where they're already gone and the other Arizona where they never want to get out of. But other than that, everywhere else he's gone, it's worked. Three teams in California, Vegas, Seattle, Dallas, two teams in Florida. I mean, they've done Nashville.
Carolina.
I mean, think about all the places he's moved at. Carolina.
Listen, let's get down to business here real quick. First of all, A, Arizona is like having an ex-wife around giving you the business. They need to get out of there and get as far away from her as possible. B, and you can quote me on that. They have screwed that up, Arizona, up like no other. It's like a bad marriage. It really is. Every time, it's just nothing but infighting. Every time. And they never like each other. Arizona and the NHL has never worked. It's never worked. Secondly, if they give another team to Atlanta, that will be the end of the NHL as I know it. Because when you lose the Flames and the Thrashers and they both go broke and no one goes to the games, you know, they go to first year and then they never go again because these people are fickle and phony. And you give them a third team down there, shame on you. If the fact that they're even discussing it right now is the most insulting thing ever. The Thrashers went broke in 10 years and they're in for Winnipeg now. Don't even tell me I'm wrong, Carver High. They do not deserve another NHL team in Atlanta. over my dead body, and it has nothing to do with me. This has to do with their utter failure twice of hockey in Atlanta.
Right.
Stop with all this Atlanta 96 Olympics. Let's give them a team in 99. No. Let's give them another team in 2024 or 25.
No.
Stop with Atlanta.
They've had their
already.
Chances.
Believe me, those rednecks don't like
They've had
don't
two
like
cracks.
Hockey.
They've had two cracks at the NHL. Absolutely no way you should get a third. No
way. What is
way.
This, baseball? Three strikes?
Some places shouldn't even get a second. I know they've been banging the drum for Quebec for 20 years now. They want Quebec to get a team back. I wouldn't have a problem with that. If they put a team back in Quebec, I think it would be good up there.
Listen,
give me the whale back before that. Put me back
lovers.
In Hartford.
Quebec's a great place for lovers. It really is a cool place. The fort and everything up on the hill. But honestly, it's like having a stuffy nose. Nobody wants to go to Quebec at all. We got enough Canada teams already. And I mean that nicely. I mean, there is
None
enough
of them win
teams
either.
In the NHL. Can we stop expanding to crappy places? I'm not saying Quebec's crappy. I'm saying we've already been there and done that. They've been talking about that for 30 years. Can we get over Quebec already, for Christ's sakes? Honestly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
I have to tell you about the MLB Bet and Get deal at BetMGM. How do you do it? Well, get the BetMGM app on iOS or Android. Sign up, deposit 10 into your new account. Place a pregame moneyline wager of 10 bucks at least. It has to be 10 on a MLB team to win at standard odds price. You're going to get bonus bets. That is money. Bonus bets are free money to play with. Instantly, you'll get it. And it's determined by what's allowed in your state. And it doesn't even matter what happens with your wager. They're going to give you the money anyway. But it's the total amount you get is based on what's allowed in your state. So if you don't like it, blame your governor. Call the legislature. Or just go to BetMGM.com, read about it, sign up, and start betting. Because that's what I do. I bet every day. I got a massive prop. Are we on the air? Davis Maddock is usually at happy hour right now. He usually does the show at 3:25, and at 4:25, he's too deep. He's already had one. He's on his second beer. He's eating peanuts. He's looking at chicks. He's got all kinds of things going on. And now they're like, we need you to do the lion's share. And he is here today under Memorial Weekend protest to do our normal baseball segment. But now, brought to you by the lion's share and BetMGM, we're excited about it. So we talked about the Orioles. They did it. They finished off the Yankees and won that set. What do you think of them now?
I mean, I do. I do like the Orioles. Spoiler alert for our wagering segment, though. We might be going against the Orioles a little bit later here. But I mean, I the number one thing I like about the Orioles is they play baseball how I want baseball to be played. Let's score 7 runs, give up 5, you know, hair on fire. I always love a team that stubbornly refuses to change their batting order. Even though Jorge Mateo, their number 9 hitter, seems like he's probably their third or fourth best hitter. You know, we got a bunch of random guys hitting ahead of him. I guess he's kind of the double leadoff guy, but Jorge Mateo is one of my favorite guys to watch. Spoiler alert, I do think we are going against the Orioles in the lion's share tonight.
All right, so Carrasco finally pitched a good game for the Mets.
He did. He did finally pitch, and we looked at him yesterday in our daily fantasy stuff. The Mets fans, I think they might have just you know how you say you want to drive someone to the airport. I think they might have forcibly removed him from the premises and got him to the airport if he gave in one more bad start. Now, it was a good start. He almost got through 7 innings, but this is not Carlos Carrasco of old, right? Like, it was a fine start for him, but only 4 strikeouts. He doesn't have more than 4 strikeouts in any game this year. Back in his early times at Cleveland, I mean, it's crazy to remember, but this was a Cy Young candidate. This was a guy getting Cy Young votes. He would mow through guys. And obviously, I mean, different stage of his career. He's had some health stuff. I mean, he's 36 years old. But I don't know. I guess the Mets kind of need a guy who can just grind out six innings right now while they're trying to figure out what they have in 38-year-old Max Scherzer and 41-year-old Justin Verlander.
What'd you think of Fado yesterday with his 10 strikeouts and manipulation of the White Sox order? I was on Giolito in that game and got just roasted.
Well, I think that we've seen this happen a lot with these young Detroit Tigers pitchers, right? Where we get so excited about them. They come up, one or two good starts. I mean, I'm thinking back to like some of those 2021 Detroit Tigers teams. Like, oh, Tarik Skubal is going to be the next big thing. Oh, Matt Manning, he's got a changeup that'll fall off the table. No one will ever be able to hit him. And Fado's results have been awful, honestly. Through 16 starts in Major League Baseball, he was really good last night. Although, don't the White Sox, I mean, they stink. Like,
They really do.
That division, they should, with the money they spend and the talent they have on that team, they're the only team that's even taking that division seriously, and they can't win. It's really embarrassing for the White Sox.
I mean, think about it. Just like right now off the top of your head, how long and how bad baseball has been in Chicago. I mean, we're talking about, like, since the Cubs won the World Series, which was a miracle, God finally gave them a World Series after 108 years or whatever it was. Have you ever seen anything like how bad baseball has been in Chicago? Like, remember, Tony La Russa, like, he was falling asleep in the dugout. I mean, they were awful. They wanted him gone. Both teams have stunk forever.
They have. And it's such a bummer, too, because baseball in the summer in Chicago,
great.
It's awesome. You can hop on the L. You get right off. The stadium is literally right there. You can see it, both of them, right, by the way, U.S. Cellular and Wrigley. You could go to both in a day if you wanted to. The weather is amazing. You could go to a Wrigley wind game on a Friday afternoon, see a bunch of home runs. And, I mean, the teams just stink. The Cubs, obviously, I mean, the Cubs just print money. Like, owning the Chicago Cubs is just a license to generate as much money as you want. It is, to me, it's shameful that they don't have a good product there. Like, what is the excuse? If you are the owner, front office member of the Chicago Cubs, you're, I don't know, the second most recognizable baseball team, probably. You can turn on cable in any state in the country and see your team play, and you don't have a competitive team. It's embarrassing.
Do you think that, you remember The Town or whatever when they robbed Fenway? Do you think they should come out with a sequel and rob Wrigley?
I mean, I'm down. I'm down for it. And that's real Chicago vibes, too. You never know what's going to happen in the well, I guess maybe that'd be more for the White Sox than the Cubs. It's a little bit more chill up by Wrigley.
Yeah, well, no, there's no money on the South Side. It's all in that Wrigley Field. It's got to have an underground vault or something. We'll look into
Easy.
It. Mafia, we put that in the things to do book to rob Wrigley Field. Are we on the air? Anyway, Michael Conforto's heating up. Do you see him go 4-for-4? And he's got like a ton of hits over his last 4 or 5 games. He's lighting it up for the Giants.
He is lighting it up. He's always been kind of one of my pet guys. I love a good lefty outfielder who plays good defense in the corners. I actually didn't really understand why the Mets got rid of him, because he feels like a skill set that the Mets kind of need. I mean, I guess the reason why they did is they just wanted to pay Starling Marte all that money, but I don't know. I'd probably rather have him playing every single day than Mark Canha, personally, and it's not like the money really matters that much to the Mets.
All right, let's go with your favorite plays tonight in baseball. By the way, the Reds are up 7-0 on the Cubs at Wrigley, bottom 8 now. I don't know. I know Green, he was throwing a no-hitter at one point, but he's been replaced. So he walked 2, struck out 11, gave up no hits in 6 innings, but they yanked him. Salazar's been in for an inning and 2/3.
Well, I mean, look, he's a young guy. Can't keep him in there forever. So starting out, favorite picks tonight, beginning with the Texas Rangers money line, +115. Looks like it moved a little bit against me. That's fine. We'll take it there with the Texas Rangers. I mean, really, simply put, I had that stat the other day about how the Rangers and the Rays are the only two teams with a run differential above 100 in Major League Baseball. And Grayson Rodriguez has just been kind of brutal this year, honestly. And maybe he'll get it turned around and we know what John Gray is, but I'm cool being on the other side of Grayson Rodriguez right now.
All right, and then you've got the Nationals-Royals game that you're betting on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how hot it is outside in Kansas City, and it is absolutely a scorcher, but come on. These two offenses, we're having these two offenses score 9 runs. I don't think so, pal. It's really that simple to me. I guess Patrick Corbin is pitching, so you never know. He could give up like 15 earned runs. He'd just be throwing batting practice out there, but two crappy teams will take the under.
Overwhelming heat there in the summer. I worked, as I told you, at KCTV5. I covered the Royals, went to every game, 80 games, whatever it was. And I mean to tell you, the moths were the size of airplanes, and it was hotter than onions out there every day. Day games, just absolutely insufferable. You got Starling Marte going tonight with a little prop.
Yeah, I mean, I just was looking at some of these lines on BetMGM and trying to pick off one in the Coors game that I thought was bad. And I mean, just of an average guy of Starling Marte's caliber, his weighted on base average. I mean, he should be like plus 400, plus 450 to hit a home run. So against Connor frickin' Seabold. So we're gonna pick off Starling Marte here to hit a home run. I also think you can shop around, like get on BetMGM and maybe throw some same game parlays in with like Pete Alonso to hit a home run or Jeff McNeil to hit a home run, stuff like that. I like that angle tonight against Seabold.
You got a little Alex Woodchucker prop going tonight?
Yep, this is my guy, Alex Wood. Alex Wood strikeout props when he is going up against a team that is going to just stubbornly keep like 3 or 4 left-handers in against him. The Brewers will have at least 2 lefties in tonight, maybe even 3. Maybe even 4, actually, if they decide to keep Bryce Terang in. So we're going to go Alex Wood over 5.5 strikeouts against the Brewers. He'll get through the order 2 times, should be able to get to 6 strikeouts there.
All right, so tonight, I'm going to throw one at you. Helen Keller is pitching against Kirby Puckett in Seattle. Bucks, I got him at $1.35 with Helen Keller. Can he beat Kirby in the Pacific Northwest? Pirates with an upset tonight for me?
I can't. I mean, Mitch Keller feels like every time he goes out, he makes me look stupid. So I'll ride with you on that one. We could go Helen Keller tonight against the Seattle Mariners.
I think, Booney getting thrown out of a game or two a week is really good for his image, to be honest with you, because I think he sucks so bad as manager.
I guess it's one way to keep people talking about him to distract from the fact that the New York Yankees are like probably not going to make the playoffs.
Have a good Memorial Day weekend, brother man.
Beautiful. Take it easy, bud.
Davis Matic.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On that note, the baseball we just did with Davis, let's keep rolling and go over everything that went down last night and get you ready for tonight.
Let's do that as we have hit Memorial Day weekend in baseball, Scotty. Let's go. We'll start with last night. The Orioles did take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Tight game late, but Austin Hayes, a 2-run double off the top of the wall on Masson, put them ahead for good.
And then had some back problems.
Hayes to right, back goes Judge, and this ball will exit the ballpark or not. It's going to be called in play. This is going to get in Santander. Yeah. Henderson is behind.
Well, there you go. I was on the Orioles to win that series, and they did. They got it done, and, I mean, let's just face facts now. They're flat-out better than the Yankees.
They are flat-out better than the Yankees. That's just the way it is. Their lineup is deeper than the Yankees. Their bullpen is better than the Yankees. And if you really wanted to split hairs, Cole's obviously better than anybody that the Orioles throw out there every day.
But that's it.
But that's about it. Because there's plenty of arms on the Orioles that have pitched better than the guys. I mean, the Yankees are running these hacks that they're running out there some nights. I mean, Schmidt's been awful. That was probably his best start last night, and unfortunately for him, they didn't score many runs. So that's,
you know,
that's
who the, sucked, you know, that's is, the way that it goes. Cortez has sucked.
He's been awful. Awful. Now, last year he was great as the second starter. Yankees went and spent money in the winter to make him a third starter, which is probably what he's more, you know, suited to be. And the guy they paid all the money to still hasn't shown up. So that's put Cortez back in that big situation. And he just
not going to pitch. I mean, they said they shot him up and he feels great.
Right. There was a smoke screen. A little smoke came out of the chimney that apparently he's going to throw from a mound for the first time in months, like a bullpen session or something. Like he's going to, you know, going to actually toss a baseball a little bit sometime over the next couple of days. So, but even when he starts doing that, you're still looking at 4 to 6 weeks of ramping him up, rehab starts, praying he doesn't get hurt during that.
Ridiculous.
He ain't pitching before the All-Star break. As far as I'm concerned, you wouldn't see him at minimum till that point. Now let's get to Boone, because he gets thrown out of every game now. See, this is what Boone likes to do. He's, you know, when things aren't going very well, he does the tough guy act. You know, he goes out there and he yells at the umpire. Third time in 10 games, he gets ejected. And he says, here he is afterwards, basically saying, I don't know why he threw me out. I wasn't that upset. Oh, okay. Here's Aaron.
Aaron, going back to the incident with the umpire, you had to be restrained by two people from going after the umpire. You've been thrown out before. It felt like there was something different about this episode that made you that enraged. Was it the fact that you were thrown out?
Well, no, I went out there pretty calmly after I was thrown out. Again, I should not have been thrown out of that game. I was very calm, didn't do much at all. And then
you looked at
Gooch was holding me back and just telling me, so I didn't need to be restrained. I wasn't, you know,
you did.
The dismissive attitude and walking away, you know, I took exception to. So I really didn't have to be restrained. I was being restrained. He was keeping in front of me.
Keep telling yourself that.
Nothing bad was going to happen.
I wonder when they're going to finally fire this guy. It is amazing to me. We've had this conversation. It really blows my mind that Hal doesn't have the stones to fire Cashman or Boone, that they have lifetime contracts. It is amazing to me. All they do is lose and nothing ever changes. Man, I mean, their dad would have fired this guy five times over.
Look, that's kind of why. And look, you never want to root against your own team. I kind of want to see them miss the playoffs just to see if he would have the stones then to actually make changes. If they didn't make the postseason, would, because I still don't
They're
think
for it.
He would have it. I still don't think he would do it because he's so lazy. Now, he doesn't want to have to go through the process of getting somebody else to run his empire the way that Cashman has for the last 20 years.
He doesn't want
20 plus years.
They don't want to be the 80s again, bro, when nobody went and they didn't matter at all. And they didn't make any money. Let's remember, they have had these, you know, types of malaises before. This guy, if they don't make the playoffs this year, after all their playoff failings, they got to fire him. And in fact, this guy Cashman's got to go too. Like, these two have gotten away with murder, in my opinion, over the last couple of years. All they do is keep getting worse, keep failing worse. And then, like, honestly, like, how many times do I have to say it? You have to kind of at some point live up to your, like, dad, the way he ran it. You can't run it like he's running a donut shop, okay? Run it like your dad ran it. We're not selling glazed donuts over here and papaya sandwiches. Let's fire coaches that don't get it done, managers, GMs. It isn't working anymore. It's stale. Make a move. Honestly, I don't know how many times I've told you that this guy Hal's a P. I mean, he's the biggest P in baseball. He is such a pushover. It's not even funny. His dad is turning in his grave. Honestly, like, his father was such a titan. Whether you liked him or not, baseball needed George Steinbrenner to live forever. Because his sons, don't get me started again on, you've already heard me say I loved Hank. Hank drank booze and he would have fired him. It's this wussy Howe. Honestly, this guy's a wussy. I wouldn't even let him play on my softball team. I mean, I'd be like, you know, the commercial, we need a hit, Derek. And then the other guy stands up. He's like, nice try, rookie, or hang in there. That's what this guy's like. Hal's the guy that never got picked for anything. He went to the sock hop and he couldn't even bring the bottle of vodka to the punch, honestly. Well,
unfortunately, you know, they haven't gotten to the point yet where people aren't going and they're not buying the $18 Heinekens and the $27 roast beef sandwiches. You're right. I mean, that
who's got the money to go watch them lose? Like, I know they still draw big. And it's a $500 night, no matter if you sit in the upper deck or in the lower bowl, it's $1,000. You go to the concession stand, it's $100 automatic. You park, it's $50. Now, who in their right mind in this economy, in this world we're living in, has that kind of cheddar to blow on a team that doesn't win? No one wants to go watch losers and sweat their ass off in the Bronx. Going to that stadium is like going to boot camp. Honestly, it's like the worst experience in the world trying to park and go to that sweaty ass stadium. Honestly, don't even tell me I'm tripping either. I've done it 5 million times. It is so I have these tickets I'm supposed to use for the Yankee game. I'm like doing anything I can to like get rid of them. I'm like, my son, my daughter, you drive. She didn't even drive. I'm like, take them. I'll get you a limo. Yeah. I don't want to go to Yankee Stadium for what? To get fleeced?
And all the best to Sterling. He's a little under the weather right now. He'll be back allegedly.
I wish he wouldn't come back. I wish he wouldn't get better. Honestly, it's better for everyone. I've had enough of him butchering games. I am not nice. At some point, you suck when you're 105. Like, look in the mirror. It's over.
You're not far off. He's going to be 85.
I'm right on the money,
I believe.
You know what?
85, I think he'll be.
How many people around here keep giving this old geezer a free pass? His game, he butchers games, and then he never shows up to work anymore. He's sick all the time. Like, honestly, just let her do it. And then they hired this guy, Shackle, whatever his name is, at CBS. Just let him do the games. Honestly, like, anybody. You know what they should do is hire that squirrel that was out on the outfield wall the other day.
Yes.
Hire the squirrel,
get the squirrel
to call
in.
The game.
Get the squirrel involved. Now you got me thinking of the old papaya dog, the hot dog joint in New York City.
On 72nd.
The papaya dog. I think they closed that place, unfortunately.
Oh, that place is so great when you're stoned. Mafia, wait, what?
It was
don't
unbelievable.
Talk about eating hot dogs stoned.
Don't say that. Here we go. Let's roll through these. The Rockies beat the Marlins in a crazy game, 7-6. Ezekiel Tovar walking it off on AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountain.
Tovar, a bouncer throw, and the Rockies are winning. The Rockies walk off the Marlins in a wild affair. And it's 21-year-old Ezekiel Tovar with his first walk-off hit, and he was behind 0-2. And he beat five infielders.
What is Ezekiel? Wow. Is that like some guy from the Bible? Who is
Yes,
that?
Your boy. Ezekiel Tovar walking it off. All right, the Padres beat the Nationals 8-6. The Nationals, Scotty, were one strike away from winning this game. Unfortunately for them, they did not. Rougi Odor in the ninth on Bally Sports San Diego.
Line to right field, down the line towards the pole, and that ball. Ninth inning.
Wow, very exciting. It was the Padres' first win in a year.
Tigers beat the White Sox 7-2. Nice job by the White Sox last night in Giolito. The Braves beat the Phillies 8-5. That place has been an absolute house of horrors for the Phillies, and Austin Riley absolutely wears them out. He had two last night. Here's the second one on Bally Sports South.
Riley. Oh.
There you go. Roll my eyes. Did the polar bear hit one? That's all that matters. My MVP vote.
Polar bear hit one for the Mets last night. Not the traditional huge pull shot down into left field or left center. This one, little cue ball to the opposite way for the polar bear on SNY. What?
Raises McNeil's average to 293. There's Alonso, and he hits one in the air to right, chasing Suzuki back into the well near the wall, and it's out of here. Pete Alonso goes the other way. His second home run of the series, his 19th of the year, a two-run shot. Nice. At 7-1 New York.
Well, at least the Mets have their broadcast booth completely locked in and no issues there. Unlike the Yankees, who their play-by-play guy fights with fans on Twitter and their radio guy hasn't worked in a year. I mean, honestly, at least the Mets have it figured out. Mafia's, his team's got no problems in the booth.
Giants beat the Brewers 5-0. You talked earlier with Davis Conforto. Had a homer for them, and the Mariners beat the A's 3-2 late night. They did not. In fact, they need to come from behind. They were down 2-0 in the first inning. France hit two homers, and then they took the lead in the eighth. So nice job by them. Okay, later on, we'll do, of course, this day in sports history. You'll talk about fights with Mafia, and then in the final hour of C2C, I will give you, because it's Memorial Day, a tentpole date in the baseball calendar, we will take a look at the baseball standings before we do tonight's games, and I'll let you know where everybody is going into such an enormous weekend on the baseball calendar.
Memorial. Very enormous weekend, a holiday weekend. Everyone's very excited. Get the grill ready, Carver High.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for a holiday edition of Today in Carver High History.
We'll start in 1972 today. Joe Frazier TKOs Ron Stander in the fifth round for the heavyweight championship of the world. 1985, with Pharrell in the house, Danny Sullivan wins the Indy 500 by 24 seconds after surviving a 360-degree spin on lap 120. How the hell did he do that? 1988, the Oilers beat the Bruins in a four-game sweep to win the Stanley Cup. 1991, Rick Mears wins the Indy 500 for the fourth time. 93, Marisol beats Milan 1-0 for the first ever Champions League title. 1993, a great highlight in Jose Canseco's career as Carlos Martinez hit a home run off of his dome. Let's go.
High fly ball to right field deep. Canseco back to the track. Look it up. It is off his head, it looked like. And over the top. A home run. Canseco at the top of the head. We'll have to check the replay. Oh, it did. It went over the fence. David Hall's laughing out there, so it must hit something funny.
Wow.
Something funny hit off his noggin. 99, Man United beat Bayern Munich 2-1 to win the Champions League. 2002, Helio Castroneves becomes only the fifth driver to win back-to-back Indy 500s. 2004, Porto beats AS Monaco 3-0 to win 3-0, as they say, the Champions League. 2013, Tony Kanaan wins the then fastest Indy 500. Your dude went 187.33 miles per hour. What? And 2018, Real Madrid beats Liverpool 3-1 for their third straight Champions League title. It's Indy 500 and Champions League season on this day in sports history, clearly, this week. That's what we have.
Yeah, and, like, when is the Indy 500? Like, Sunday or something? And, like, no one cares.
I believe so.
On the face of the earth.
Sunday.
Like,
nobody
honestly,
cares.
It
and
is
I mean,
so bad now.
Nobody cares.
I'm surprised they even put it on TV anymore.
Ha 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 ha.